We spent all of autumn and well into winter researching Hallowbloods, how werewolves and supernatural entities entwined with our world. Explanations were few and far between, and we made very little progress at the start toward finding a cure. It was like being part of a stage play, or a mutiny. In the day, Ambrose, Caspian, and I all played our parts, the Mercutio to the love between Romeo and Juliet. Leander and Evangeline had since melded into one another. They were two water droplets that finally slid close enough to connect and become something greater. It was all anyone spoke about, and usually did so with envy. As if the whole campus recognized them as royalty, their energy swept silence and awe into every room. They had pieced together a world for one another, one they ruled as a single, loving entity. But still, every day, the beast was becoming sicker and sicker. Still, every day, his fangs elongated to sharp points, ropes of muscle went from his shoulders to his two long nails, and his once clean-shaven face was now always peppered with red hair, no matter how often he shaved in the day. You're close to a cure, right, Ambrose?
As close as I can manage without dissecting him directly.
Ambrose!
I forget how creepy doctors can be.
Not creepy. Well, maybe it is. It's meant to be logical and to the point.
Aren't you trained in bedside manner at all?
Haven't taken that class yet.
Been putting it off, more like.
Regardless, thank you for helping us with this. We couldn't have managed otherwise. Ambrose lifts the hazy liquid to the lamplight, swirling it in its vial. We all look at it, as if an answer to all the insanity of the past couple months would suddenly burst into existence if we stared hard enough. Ambrose sighs, letting their hand fall.
It's the best I can do, but I don't even know if it will help.
It has to. It's going to. I know it will.
But if it doesn't... The atmosphere feels heavy as I start to speak aloud our fears. If it doesn't, we need to be prepared for the worst outcome.
And what's the worst outcome?
It's clear Caspian doesn't want to ask, but he can't help himself. And I can't bring myself to answer, so Ambrose does it for me instead.
The absolute worst case. It's us or him.
It was barely in time. Barely in time when Ambrose developed a cure. Barely in time when Evangeline realized something was wrong. And barely in time for me to steel my nerves against all the ghosts that screamed death tolls in my ears. The crows were about that evening. When Evangeline and Leander were walking together amongst the old stones. The fires of autumn had long since passed, and the only reminder of the season was him, with his brown-booted step and mane of flame. Evangeline curled into his arms to combat the icy rain. And suddenly, as the sky began to pepper with stars and the moon edged over the horizon, Leander had collapsed to the ground, writhing and seething.
Leander?
No! No, don't touch.
What do you mean? What's going on?
Don't touch me, mon ami. Please.
But she doesn't listen. It's not in her blood to. Evangeline collapses on the ground beside him, holding his face, his hand, caressing him, trying to ease a pain that she doesn't understand. She presses her ear against his chest, his heart like hummingbird wings, and his breath exhaling in a ferocious, painful growl.
Leander, please.
Leave me.
I'm going to go get help. Just hang on.
No. Please don't. If you do, I'll eat them too.
Ah, heavens. Evangeline, can't you knock?
I need you all right now. I don't know what's happening. Please. There's something wrong with Leander.
Fuck.
It's happening already?
What do you mean, it?
Quickly.
God damn it! Tell me what's going on!
Ev, we gotta go.
Gather the research. Hurry.
Evangeline, I'm sorry. We should have told you sooner and...
Get to the point already, Margot.
Okay. Leander is a werewolf, and it's a very confusing and fucked up situation that we were trying to fix because you two were so happy together and we didn't want that
Sorry to break up this word vomit, but we need to move now.
Evangeline is stunned into silence. Stunned into silence because, of course, someone like me who is obsessed with spirits would say something like this. Stunned to silence because the others seem to believe me this time. And stunned to silence because, if I am right, what is there to say? Lightning cracks against the window. Run, the rain commands. And run we do. I don't remember much about what I thought as we ran through the night rain into the graveyard. At the time, not much outside our bubble really mattered. Not other students, not classes, not my degree, not even the spirits that plagued me so. But I do know that our blood must have roared in our ears with how quickly we crossed the campus into the graveyard. But that did not compare to the roaring of the growing storm and the roaring of his wolfish voice while he writhed through the transformation. Leander was soaked through when we finally reached him, curled over an unclaimed grave.
Leander? Leander, they're here! They're going to help!
No!
His skin is deathly pale.
Does he need blood?
Caspian, he isn't a vampire. And I get the feeling he hates the comparison.
Oh, vampires now too?
Maggie, wolves also consume blood. They just need meat too. It might stave off the hunger for a second longer.
I guess.
That might just make the transformation faster, now that I think about it.
Please, stop!
His bark echoes through the graveyard. Crows scream in terror, their wings beating at the rain. His now pointed ears flick downward through his clawed hands as he covers them, trying to shake away the noise. And desperately, he looks to Evangeline. She flies to his side.
Evangeline, I swear I must have known you across a thousand lifetimes. I'll find you again.
I'm not leaving.
His hands cup her face delicately, as if she were glass on the verge of shattering. I vaguely think that a single one of his hands could crush her entire skull. I shudder. His voice rasps with wolfish snarls.
Molepe, don't abandon your friends because of me.
No! I will not abandon them or you, Leander.
There is no avoiding tomorrow, Evangeline. Today, I'm warmth and love and yours. And tomorrow, I'll only remember your scent and my hunger. So please.
Evangeline, we need to go.
No! Please don't make me leave you, Leander.
I will find you, Molepe.
Sorrow flickers in her eyes, faster than the lightning strikes above. Dark orange fur covers all his skin now, snout protruding and taking shape. Evangeline grips onto his pelt, desperate to keep him close, to keep him... himself. He buckles from her arms, tossing himself to the ground, his amber eyes, sear predatory gold, flashing in the low light of the night. Crows begin to swarm us, making my hair stand on end. The rain pelts harder, a warning now.
Run!
Ev, please.
No! He can hang on for just another minute!
We're going to have to pull her away.
This is so hard to watch.
Run!
Leander pants and drags himself along the ground, spittle dripping from his lips as he tries to fight his basest instincts. We all back away from him, except for Ambrose, who edges forward with a slow confidence, bringing a vial to Leander's lips.
Leander, drink this.
No.
Leander, you have to. You don't want to hurt anyone, right? Leander, are you hungry?
Ambrose, don't provoke—
But it's too late. Leander's eyes snap forward, no recognition left in them. Instead, he twists and lunges for Evangeline, his half-wolf maw stretched wide and sharp. He brings down his teeth on her throat. I close my eyes. Evangeline screams. Then Ambrose screams. When I open my eyes, Ambrose's arm is lodged in Leander's teeth, streaming rivers of blood. Ambrose shoves their arm further down, forcing Leander's jaw open a little more. With no moment lost and impossible reflexes, they pour the tonic into Leander's mouth. He tears away, tongue lolling from his mouth at the certain bitterness of the medicine. Whimpering, he whips his head side to side, more canine with every passing second. Caspian pushes Evangeline into my arms and runs up to the werewolf, grabbing his massive head in his hands.
You're Leander. Your mate is Evangeline. Evangeline Thaddeus. She's human.
Leander threatens to bite Caspian, but he grasps his muzzle and bears all his weight down.
Leander, where's your mate? Where's Evangeline?
Glimmers of humanity flood his golden gaze as he looks at her. As if ashamed, he tucks his ruddy tail down and closes his eyes slowly. She grips onto me, silent tears making a salt trail down her cheeks.
How long does this last?
From our research, we think about 10 years. Then he's back to human form for about 100 moons.
It's a long time to wait.
I don't care.
Stepping from my grasp, Evangeline walks forward and kneels before Leander and Caspian. She puts a hand on Caspian's shoulder.
Let him go.
Evangeline, did you not just watch what he did to Ambrose?
No, please.
He had taught her that tone, that quiet, confident demand for compliance. Caspian slowly releases the werewolf's jaws, taking a single step back. Evangeline reaches out, rubbing the pain away from Leander's snout.
Oh, wait. Every year in autumn, I'll be here and wait. Come find me.
She plants a single kiss between his eyes, and even in his wolfish form, I can see him shudder. Then fear settles in, and he bolts away, past the gate and through the rain that turns him into mist. The storm had passed us by, high moonlight now bathing the stones in silver. The rain still pelts at us, cold to our bones, but for the first time in months, I hear no hidden message there. A howl cracks the sky, faintly, like the rain lessened enough for just a moment to allow me to hear it. I turn toward it. Glowing amber eyes cut through the darkness. He's staring. Thank gods, I can feel his hunger ripple through the air. There's a thought of running towards him, into his jaws and letting him consume me, but it flares and dies in the same instant. Feeding him would do nothing good now. The gold flashes down out of sight, then back up. I incline my head to him. And in that moment, he turned, disappearing from my sight. And I never saw him again. I'll find you again. A promise. Those were the last words Evangeline's 19-year-old ears heard from him. And it was difficult to know what exactly made that promise. The man or the beast? But regardless of what part of him did, he kept it. Leander, dire wolf or not, tore apart the very world to find her. And when he wasn't there, Evangeline believed with all her heart that he'd come back to her. The love that burned between them was one of passion and patience. 100 moons passed over and over, and though they lived half their lives apart, their time together more than made up for it. It was a lesson that no other pair of lovers in the world ever truly understood, to cherish every single moment. They had to. Their moments were scarce. But the last time he came to the graveyard, he could no longer remember how to cherish anything. Because when he walked to their spot, she was there, waiting. She had waited there for 2 years, under dirt and stone. With the last bit of his wolfish strength, he tore up the ground underneath, desperate to uncover her. Beside an urn, there was a small box, poorly wrapped. Inside there was a note, and it read,
"I've waited all these years, my dearest. I will not stop waiting, even in death."
He cried. Leander, with all his mystery and might, was not above tears. And while he racked the sky with sobs, it was no longer raining. For the first time in Illrest, it snowed instead.